I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
The lights and the harbor.
The Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Cope Reynolds, and I'll be your host for the next 2 hours on The Shooting Bench, where we'll discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly issues that Americans face today. Loss of liberty, violations of our civil rights, Second Amendment issues, and the rape of our precious Constitution in general. Roll up your sleeves. Let's get started right now.
It's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
All in favor of losing your rights, please do nothing.
views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we go. Welcome to another edition of the Shooting Bench. It's Tuesday, and this is April Fool's. And, boy, have we had some fun with this today. Amy's quite the April Fooler. She has gone to tremendous lengths, starting last night until 1:30 this morning, to get everything foolish. And she did a real good job. We got some pictures, but I don't have them up where I can post them yet. But we had for dinner tonight. Actually, this started early this morning. Kelly, did you notice anything when you ate your cereal this morning? Really?
Yeah.
I did.
Amy, why don't you walk in there and get the milk out of the refrigerator and show Kelly what she drank, what she ate on her cereal this morning? I'll be able to tell you here in just a minute what went on. I don't want to ruin it. But it's, hold on just a second here. I can't spill the milk too quickly here.
Spill the milk.
You ate that on your cereal and you didn't even notice it.
You didn't even know.
Poured it in.
You took it out of the refrigerator. You put cereal in a bowl. You took it, you noticed it, and you sat there and ate it and you didn't even know.
My absolutely 100% awareness champion here lost. Amy started out this morning putting, no, goat milk would have been fine, right at the risk. I wish we could have some. We have no reason to have goats. We're not getting milk out of them. But anyway, she put blue food coloring in blue food coloring in a gallon of milk, and Kelly pulled it out, poured it on a cereal, ate the cereal, and never had a clue. And then she put a plastic lunch in Kelly's lunch bag. A little plastic pizza, a little plastic banana, a little plastic can of pop, a little plastic egg, and a potato to make it the right weight. A little watermelon. And so we went to great lengths to run to town and get Panda Express for her. So she went to school and come in there, and evidently she cheated at some point and looked in her lunch and found out of something. So she was going to buy her lunch. And I was hiding in there, and Amy was hiding in the lunchroom. We was going to get video of this, and she kind of ruined it for us. And then she gave her the Panda Express, and she was all happy and everything. And then we put... let's see, what else did we do? Oh, yeah, she drew little faces on all the eggs in the refrigerator with that were facing out there. You open the door and you got all these little eggs looking at you. And then Wesley decided he'd play April Fool's. So he stuck a little piece of toothpick in the sprayer hose nozzle on the sink. And Amy went in there all unaware and reached over and turned the sink on full blast. And the little sprayer hose, of course, pointed right down her baggy sleeves on her sweatshirt. She wears, went right up her sleeves, right to her armpit and down her side. And she was soaked. So she froze for the rest of the morning. And then Amy fixes dinner tonight. And we had cake. And it looked just like cake. But it turned out it was a meatloaf cake with mashed potato frosting, and the little stars and flowers on the cake were food colored mashed potatoes, and it was pretty darn good. And then she puts a glass of milk in front of everybody, and the best one was Kelly's because she had a clear glass, and she reached over and took a drink, and nothing happened. It was just like a painted-on glass. Well, she had the Casper Mountain says payback's going to be. So she made what amounts to very simply milk Jell-O is about what it amounts to. And it didn't wiggle, didn't splash, did anything when you pick it up, and nobody could get anything out of it. And the dessert is the best. We'll get some pictures on this in Amy's show in the morning. We started this last night, finished it about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we took some, you know, those straws that you have with the little flexible end on it that you always pull apart, and when you put it in a cup, you know, you pull it back and forth like an accordion type thing. So we stuck those and taped 100 of them together and stuck it in a 2-liter Coke bottle, poked paper bags down around it, make a little airtight seal, and poured them full of brown Jell-O. Kind of brown, kind of a raspberry Jell-O with green food coloring and stuff in it, and it looked pretty gross. And put that in the fridge and got up this morning and grabbed hold of you. What you do to get those worms out of there is you grab hold of the end of the straw with your Leatherman and take your fingers and smash it down real tight and just squirt it out. And there comes a worm. And it looks just like a worm. Get little ridges on there. And it looks, for all the world, it looks just like a damn worm. I wish I could get these online real quick and show you, but they look perfect. They look absolutely perfect. And so that's they serve those in a clear cup with mashed up Oreo cookies and stuff in there, and it looks like dirt. You've got the worms on top of it, so it actually looks less than appetizing. But it was good. It tasted good. So. And Kelly couldn't get past the worm, so she had to mix it all up in the cookies. So she was eating something else, but it works real good. All right, let's get on with lots of stuff to talk about here. Oh, the schedule for Schatz Ranch has been changed due to, let's see here, let me get on the site, make sure I say this right, due to popular demand from a couple of our listeners, we decided to change things around just a little bit so we'd accommodate those that are anxious to come out and see us. So what has changed here in the immediate future is the first weekend of May, the 3rd and 4th of May, will be another combat medic class. And so any of you that are interested in taking, I'll tell you, this class is unbelievable. This is, I would say, without taking anybody else, might be kind of a bold statement, but I'd say this probably one of the best, if not the best, down-to-earth, hardcore combat medic classes in the country. What you get for 2 days out of this is well worth, you know, four times what you pay for it. It's an amazing class. And then just a short month after that, and I've cleared this with one of the people that's taken it, just a short month after that, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, of June is our gunsmith weekend. All 3 days are going to be armorer classes. And for those that are staying with us, you know, we might even run things on into the evening there. That's the benefit you get of staying at Schatz Ranch, is you get additional personal training and storytelling and opinions and one-on-one time with your instructors and stuff after hours. So it's a great deal, works out well. But we'll have the field armorer class, which is where we go through a number of different weapons. Of course, you're not going to learn how to build the guns. We're going through a lot of different guns. We'll probably go through 10 or 12 different designs of guns, so that you can take that knowledge and apply it to other similar type guns and figure out, of course, every gun out there has a particular little nuance or little different thing that's different than any other gun. And those, some of those things you just have to learn as you go along. But for the most part, the basics will be in the number of guns that we cover. The next day will be a Glock Armors class. We spend 8 hours on the absolute utter beauty of the Glock. And how to, the modifications, complete everything you always wanted to know about your Glock but were afraid to ask. And then the next day, we're going to go through the AK-47 just about like it. We're going to go through a lot of stuff in the AK, and we're actually going to shoot them a little bit after the class just to kind of get the feel of it after we've got done messing with them all day. Then we'll get out there the last couple hours and blast away a little bit just for, get a little kind of a familiarization of how to run them properly, or how we run them anyway. So it ought to be a great weekend, and we've already got a couple of people confirmed to take that class. So if you got a notion you want to get in there, well, give us a holler. The website is kind of goofy right now, so if you'll give me a couple of days, I'll get that squared away. But if you get in a hurry, then you could you can give us a call, and we can still get you signed up. Casper Mountain, what, the Browning weekend? But we will, on the field armor class, we will go through some Browning design stuff there, and then the following day will be all Glock. So anyway, Edge of the Woods just joined us. Edge of the Woods, I've let the cat out of the bag here. We have moved one, well, we have moved one, we've added a class, which was the combat medic class. And that will be on the 3rd and 4th, I believe I just got through saying. Let me go back up here and look. Yeah, 3rd and 4th of May, first weekend of May, combat medic class. This is one of those that you really shouldn't miss. It's worth much, much more than what you're going to pay for it. So, all right, let me get back over here where I can see everything that's going on. And let's see, Casper Mountain's in there. Let me see who all is here, by just out of curiosity. Casper Mountain, Concrete and Tinker, Doc, Edge of the Woods, Kilo, Mini, Mother Earth, Mountain Shooter, Not Too Late, Northwest Heavy, Rights at Risk, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, Anonymous. All right. And still coming in. So, all right. The Mountain Shooter just popped in there. All right. Okay, let's move on. We have a fun little story here to start with. Here, this happened in Afghanistan. Neat story. A 20-year-old sniper with the Lance Corporal with Coldstream Guard, a British sniper, 930 yards, happened to hit a... tell him to quiet it down in there a little bit. Happened to hit a suicide bomber's vest, his trigger on his vest. I guess they were having a little convention there, and they had several of them standing around. So what it amounted to was this fine young talented sniper managed to kill 6 Taliban with one shot. Absolutely perfect. I love it when a plan comes together. It was very cool. And they actually found another vest after they went and investigated this. They found another vest with 40 pounds of explosives on it nearby. And the guy had a shawl type deal on, and he bent over, or the wind caught it or something, and it flew up, and he noticed that he was carrying a machine gun. So he said, all right, we're going to go ahead and take this guy out. So they just happened to hit just right on the vest that he was wearing, and poof, may he rest in pieces. So there you go. All right, hang on a minute. We have breaking news. We've got a couple of things. All right, we'll have to check on that one in a minute. And all right, we got another. We got lots of stuff coming in here. A lot of things going on right now. A lot of it in the gun world. Some of it in the gun world. And some not so much. Let's see what this is. Hang on just a minute. I think this is one. Okay, I don't need that one right now. I can talk about that later. Do what? Yeah, set it here and I'll try it. Okay. Yeah, I'll taste it and see. Okay. Now, one of the reasons, you know, I hate to even start into that because that may take a few minutes. So, let's look here. Let's do a quick jackbooted thug story before break time. That's always refreshing. There was a girl here, University of Virginia student, and she spent a night in jail, was brutalized to an extent. And we read a story, what was it, about probably a week ago, week or 10 days ago, about a guy that happened to be in the parking lot of a liquor store, and he had an energy drink, and that's all. That's all he had, perfectly legitimate, perfectly legal, not doing anything, hurting anybody, minding his own business, and he was taken down and injured a certain amount. I don't remember what they did to him, but anyway, he received some injury. And hauled to jail. Because he had this can of stuff that somebody thought was a beer. Now, you know, I'm not a drinker anymore. I'm not a drinker any less, but no, I don't drink. I haven't drank, had a drop in, it's been since, 92, I believe. So 22 years since I've had a drink of alcohol of any kind. But if you choose to, and that's your thing, and that's what you want to do, then according to the Constitution in my country, you should be able to do that without too much trouble. Casper Mountain, we'll go over that Mark II during the field armorer class. That's an awesome little gun. I don't know if you've seen my YouTube video on that, but great little gun. Now I got sidetracked here. Oh, we was talking about the ABC, the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, folks. Well, here is a girl, and she has, let me see, she's suing them now. What did she get terrorized and spend a night in jail for? She spent a night in jail for buying a 12-pack of bottled water. She just got back in her car after buying a bottled water, ice cream, and a cookie dough from a little store there. Her and two of her roommates had made plans to bake cookies for a charity fundraiser the next day. All good intentions. Six men. No, thank you. This is a good idea, and it was fun, but you can have it. Six men and women. It didn't say six men and a woman. It says six men and women. So I don't know if that means 12 people or if there was just six people and it was mixed up men and women. I don't know. But anyway, they come to her car in the dark part of the parking lot and started banging on the windows, and she got scared. They were plain clothes, no type of uniform, didn't show a badge, and they thought that her 12-pack of LaCroix water, canned water, was actually beer. So what if it was? Why does that call for that kind of behavior? Police admit that one of the agents jumped on the hood of the car and that one of them drew a gun. Really? For a teenage girl or a college girl with a 6-pack of water, 12-pack of water, they drew a gun on her? You have got to be kidding me. Me and another guy was talking about this tonight a lot, and it's getting this way
everywhere, all the time, every day, every single day. We have a new story about this very thing. Sometimes two or three. So she got scared, and there's nothing even close to a uniform, she said. Nothing clearly visible or readable. She said, I couldn't put my window down unless I started the car. Well, really all she had to do was turn the key on to throw that window down, but she said she couldn't put the window down without starting the car. So, yeah, I'll try it and see. Yeah, I'll give it a shot and see what happens. Said she couldn't put it down without starting the car, so she started the car, and all the jackbooted thugs went nuts. And they started yelling not to move the car, don't move the car. They started trying to break the windows, and the girls said they were terrified, as they rightfully should be. She thought her and her roommates were under attack, and she started driving in an attempt to get out of there. She was arrested and jailed overnight, charged with three felonies, assaulting two officers who she just touched with her car. She didn't knock them down. She didn't run them over. And eluding police. How do you get charged with all that stuff when you don't know they're for the police? The charges were later dropped and her record was cleared. Well, how very nice of them. Now she's suing the state and seven ABC agents for $40 million. Now I hope she gets every damn penny of it, too. This is according to the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Her lawsuit alleges malicious prosecution, assault and battery, and failure to properly train agents. I would have gone much more than that. I would have went with some property damage and a number of other things. The agent acted with actual malice, she said in her lawsuit, out of embarrassment and disgrace for their own intentional and grossly negligent acts, and charged her with three felonies, and did so out of anger and personal spite. She has suffered acutely from the trauma of the incident. Her lawsuit states that she has a hand tremor, intense anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, a lot of times I would say that's probably a bunch of nonsense, and they're saying that just for the suit. But in this case, you know, I can see how six people, you got three girls alone in a car, obviously unarmed. Now, if they'd have done that and jumped on Amy's car, I imagine she'd have been shooting through the windshield, and then two or three of them would have went home in a sack. I can understand how she might have some long-lasting effects out of this. Their own investigation, ABC's own investigation, has admitted wrongdoing, finding that two of the agents broke the rules by drawing a gun and breaking the window with a flashlight. And the agency said it's taken corrective action, but they haven't said how. So what that means is they've told them, you guys are going to have to be more careful next time. You know, good job. You know, go take a day off at the taxpayer's expense and be on your way. So there you have it.
Infidel! Infidel! Phone ringing! Oh yes, infidel! Pick up the phone! It could be Allah calling! Oh, pick up the phone before it blows up! Pick up the phone! Oh, Allah Akbar! Allah Akbar! Pick up the phone!
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come. Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rotten command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling-o.
Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling,
ding-a-ling. Look, hammer down, just ignore the county line. I've had enough of this old town, leaving it behind.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more. Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on The Shooting Bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, a little bit behind there. Sorry about that. Had got all kinds of things going on here with April Fools and everything happening. So, anyway, we're back. Welcome to The Shooting Bench, to the second segment here. Okay, let's. This is an interesting story, and I don't know. I don't have any facts on this yet, but it kind of plays into what we've talked about numerous times here. And that is the super volcano in Yellowstone. Part of the reason that we moved away from Cody, Wyoming, is because of the, as they state, long overdue eruption at Yellowstone. For those of you that have checked into this, this is a huge deal in Yellowstone. Obviously, there's lots of geothermal activity there with Old Faithful and all that stuff, all the hot springs and everything around there. So, lots of stuff going on. And they say, we did quite a bit of research on this before we moved out of there, and they say that when Yellowstone blew last time, that it left over a foot of ash in Iowa. Now, that's a problem for people that's a little short of Iowa. Matter of fact, they say the next time it blows, that Cody, Wyoming will be under 30 to 40 feet of ash. And there's been some increased activity going on there. And I've seen a couple of reports of the, we talked about this just briefly, a week or two ago, I've seen a couple of reports of the area that could conceivably be vastly affected, if it were to be a major eruption. And it will reach all the way down here to Arizona. Now, how bad it'll be, how thick it'll be down here, I don't know if it's survivable or not. It will not be survivable. Wyoming, probably most of Utah, Nevada, Washington, you know, all over up there. The majority of the western United States will not be survivable if it's a major eruption. Now, nobody knows how bad it will be. But they say a major one is overdue. According, I don't know how they figure this, and I don't lend any credibility to it at all, because I don't know anything about how they determine this. Everybody says scientists say, and they just automatically believe it. Well, I don't. But I will say that I think it's something to consider. Consider, you know, where you live, how you're prepared to deal with that. Are you set up to where you can be completely isolated for a period of time until maybe if things get cleaned up in your area? So I just saw a video today that someone shot of a bunch of bison coming out of Yellowstone. And the question here was, are these animals evacuating the area? Do they sense the urgency, sense the danger of being there? These buffalo were on a mission. They weren't going to feed. They weren't going to water. They were coming down out of the mountains from various places there, coming onto the highway and running down the highway as if a lion was after them. And there was quite a few of them that it showed there, running the opposite way what the car that was videoing them was driving. Now, nobody knows if this was actually, if the bison sensed something, but it was abnormal. It wasn't what they normally do. They weren't coming down trails. They were coming just out of the mountains, off the hills there, and onto the road. And they had a definitely on a mission. They were headed down the road. So yeah, if Casper Mountain said, let's see, what was that? A friend has a poster of a little girl mad as heck, saying shaking her fist, saying, if Yellowstone blows, I want a front row seat in Cody. Well, no, you don't. And I'll tell you why we left Cody. To go south, I think that there would be no escape from Cody. I think that there's a little town called Thermopolis. I may have told you this story at some point in the last 10 years, but there's a little town called Thermopolis where there's huge, I mean, hot springs is the reason Thermopolis exists. And they have a whole big hot springs park up there, and there's a hotel up there where the water is piped into this hotel, so you have hot mineral baths and pools year-round. And it's when I had my construction company in Cody, I actually replaced the water lines in that entire park to carry that mineral water. They've got hot water lines that run all over the park up there. And the line that was in it had collapsed. The original line was a wooden line, believe it or not. And it had been replaced at some point in history with a transite line, with an AC line. And it was getting soft and collapsing in many places, and had been repaired and repaired and repaired. So they finally are doing replacing the whole thing. So, and we had the privilege of doing that. And so anyway, Thermopolis, as the crow flies, is probably, I've never really thought about it. I'm going to guess it's probably somewhere in the vicinity of 100 miles or maybe a little more. from the center of the park to Thermopolis. Now, the last decent earthquake they had in Yellowstone, which I think was, I believe, was in the 70s, one of the major springs, hot springs in Thermopolis, dried up. What happened is there's something connected to Yellowstone all the way over to Thermopolis. So when that blew, what I figured there when I lived in Cody, I said, well, I have no reason to believe that if the major earthquake happens that we're going to have any hope of getting out of here going south. There's only one highway going south out of there, and it goes right through Thermopolis, and I fully suspect that highway will be severed. I would bet any amount of money on it. I don't think there's two ways that you can go north out of there. I can't imagine wanting to go north, but I guess if you had to, you could. But our idea was to try to stay in the United States, go to where a family was, and we needed to go south. And so the only other way to get out of there was to go east through Grable and over that way. And there's one two-lane road going up a mountain there, and I can imagine that even as sparsely populated as that area is, I could imagine that road would be locked up tight, you know, the first 200 or 300 cars that comes through there, if that's the only way out, is not going to be a good way to go. So weighing all these different things, not to mention, you know, having two little kids and being, you know, 40 below zero frequently in the wintertime and all that, we decided to pack up and head out of there. And that decision may actually pay off here in the future. As we look at the goings on here, we're seeing, I just noticed there was an 8.0 earthquake in, where was that? It just happened at Chile. It was over off the coast of Chile today. Chile, as some people will call it. And, and then we just had, a moderate earthquake and two or three aftershocks that were about as strong in the Los Angeles area. And then we had the thing in Yellowstone. Now, Yellowstone has earthquakes every day. No, really, every day. Most of them go unnoticed. Some of them are pretty minor. But they have earthquakes in Yellowstone every single day. But not 4.3, 4.6, whatever it was. So that was a little bigger. And it does have a lot of people concerned about what may go on there. And Doc, that's correct. I think you could probably, if you were packed and ready to go, if you were really a prepper, if you actually were a prepper, and you had your stuff out there ready to go, and you could throw it in a trailer and get out of there in maybe as long as 30 minutes, but probably more like 10 or 15 minutes. If you knew it was going to happen, you were prepared to throw it in there and just get out of there with your life and a tank full of gas and some survival tabs and a couple of weapons and could get out of there in 15 minutes, I think you'd have a chance of surviving if you were some of the first people to get out of there. But you have to have a way to go. From where we were, there really was no feasible way to get out of there. Northern Utah, I think... You know, you may have a chance if you get in and you're full of gas and you're ready to go and you haul it south just as hard as you can go, you might have a chance. The people in the Rights at Risk, by hours, we are talking maybe where you live, maybe 2 or 3 hours. I don't know the scientific where to fours of that, but... I can't imagine it being too terribly long. Mount St. Helens stuff was coming down out there pretty quickly. As a matter of fact, when I was logging in Idaho right when I got out of the Army, so it would have been, I went to Idaho probably in 86. Yeah, the summer of 86. And we were working in the woods there and logging, and it was, there was lots and lots of ash from Mount St. Helens in there, and a lot of people telling the stories of the day it happened. I can remember, I can tell you right where I was when I heard it on the radio. I was in Devers, Texas, working on a job there when I heard. Matter of fact, I can show you today, if the highway hasn't changed, I can show you the driveway I was turning into when I heard that on the radio. And or the road, it wasn't a driveway, it was a street there. And so if this happens, people from Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, up that way east, probably have a decent chance, a good chance of surviving it with not too dramatic of preparations. I think they'll be back to normal probably in, depending on how bad it is, you know, nobody knows. It's been looking at the computer guesstimations and everything. If it's the worst it could be, yeah, they're going to get some ash and it's going to be bad, but they'll survive it. People in the western United States, overwhelmingly, don't have a chance. Us down here in the southwest, we've got a little bit better chance, but you better have your stuff ready to get out and head south hard as you can go. Actually heading east for us would probably be okay because we have a direct route close to us, so it might be better for us to head east because we've only got a 300 miles before we have to cross the Mexican border, which will be a problem. So probably going east would be the same. And I think there will be, according to these computer models and everything, there will be a back to normal for the eastern, east of the Mississippi and back in there. For the western states, it's over. It is completely and forevermore over. There will never be a back to normal. There will be no survival. The only survival will be the ones out on the fringe of this that were smart enough to haul ass the moment that they got a report that this was happening. And there is a possibility that some can survive, but they will not be coming back. There'll be no going home. If you're way out on the far eastern side there, Texas, maybe even Louisiana, farther than that, I think there will eventually be a back to normal, but it may be a long, long time. According to their, I don't know, this is according to the computer models. We did quite a bit of studying on this simply because that's where we lived. But that, from what we gathered there, that you would have to be a pretty good ways east to ever expect to survive. There would be, well, yeah, I guess it depends on what you call back to normal, Doc. I mean, the streets will be cleared, gardens will grow, lights will come back on. Half the country is going to die, and it will never, nobody will ever go back into it, into a lot of it. But there will be maybe it's a new normal, but people will survive it's the woods. We could hope that the powers that be there are taking one of their many vacations. Actually, I would like to see them taking this vacation in Yellowstone. Yeah, Cody, it'd be great. We can speculate about it all day, but bottom line is the technical term for this is going to be bad, very, very bad. Arkansas would probably be about the Jackson Hole would be perfect because there's no good fast way out of there, so I think Jackson Hole would be a great place for them to be vacationing at the time. You know, it's a shame because that's some of the prettiest country on this planet in that area, and it's going to be a shame. If this thing blows, that it will all be gone forever. It would be Arkansas, I think, would be about the line. That'd be about the farthest, I think, that you might be survivable. I don't know if it will give, if you'll have a normal there. You'll probably still have to evacuate, but I think you can survive from somewhere around Arkansas east, from what I've gathered from my little bit of research on that. Now, there's probably a lot of people a whole lot smarter than me about it, but just guessing, I'd say that would be about the closest you'd want to be. So I would look there if you live in Arkansas or anywhere on a line, north and south line there along that area, that you ought to just kind of have in the back of your mind that there is that possibility. And if you happen to be listening to the news and you find out that it happened, then you're going to have just a little while to put your stuff in a truck and go. How many times have I told you all that? Just put it in the truck and go. And if you don't, if you hesitate right there, then chances are that you're not going to make it. Not doom and gloom or fear mongering. It's just a fact. It's just the way it is. So, might want to ponder on that if you're out in that part of the country. Those of you that are in the Pacific Northwest, most of Utah, Nevada, Wyoming, Montana, you need to start heading there now. Because if it happens, you're done. There's not going to be very little chance that most of you will get out of there if this happens in our lifetime. And it could. I'm just bringing this up because of the buffalo and the increased activity that's going on. It's something to consider. I think Texas might be pushing it. You know, the east side, you get over around Beaumont and Texarkana and that along the line there. I think it's doable, depending on the severity of it. That's about my line, you know, that I would consider. Even thinking that you might have a chance of outrunning it. The thing is, you know, you're 1,000 miles. Or more east of it. So you've got a little bit of time, not days, you have hours to make your final preparations there and get your stuff and head out. You're doing a whole lot better, and I think if you're somewhat prepared and you're open-minded enough to believe and prepared to leave, then I think in that part of the country, I think it's 100% survivable for those that are ready to leave. If you're not ready to leave, if you want to say, well, let's stand around, let's see what happens, see how bad it gets, you're done. You're going to be toast just like the people in California and everywhere else. So take that for what it's worth. Okay, let me go look here. We got a little news story coming in here. Let me check and see if that's newsworthy. No, it is not. So we'll just let that go for now. All right, let's see. I think that's everything here. All right, let me move on to my other page here. We played that deal of that girl talking about abortion. We played that last night. All right, lots of new stuff coming up here. There's the Florida House here has passed an interesting bill. They've passed a bill here that is, it's called a warning shot bill. It is HB 89. They passed this last Thursday. Allows a person to brandish a firearm and actually fire a warning shot when they feel threatened. Alright. Before we go into this, actually passed 93-24. I think I understand why some of these people are doing this. A possibility. I think they're saying, some of them are saying, well, if we allow them to fire a warning shot and or brandish the gun, maybe that would prevent some of the shootings. Well, just real quick, let's go over some of the dangers of firing a warning shot. Not the least of which is a bullet sailing around out there with your name on it and an attorney attached to it that's going to address to whom it may concern and may come down, you know, God knows where, anywhere. And you could injure someone else. Firing warning shots is very dangerous business. So that's probably the biggest concern. The other thing is when you fire that shot, you know, you're already scared to death. You're already probably starting to develop tunnel vision. If you haven't already, it won't be long coming. Auditory exclusion. Your fine motor skills are starting to deteriorate. Once you fire that shot, it's going to get worse. If it works, great. I'm happy for you. If it don't, you're pretty well screwed. If the guy doesn't run screaming away into the darkness there because you fired your shot, then you've got other issues. And if you've really well trained, if you're well trained, you're not going to fire a warning shot anyway. You're either justified to shoot or you're not. And if you fire a warning shot, there's an extreme possibility of liability issues there, regardless of stand your ground or whatever else may be available to you. So I think I'd have to hear Doc's argument for that. I don't see any good reasons for a warning shot. Not the reason for it. In most jurisdictions, it's illegal, if nothing else. It's typically illegal to do as far, if nothing else. It's going to be hard to prove that there was ever any danger to start with. If you fire the shot and it actually works and the guy runs away, then you've got to prove that you've got to make somebody believe you why you fired that shot. And the least that might happen, which is a whole lot better than being attacked, is that you may get charged with firing, you know, inside the city limits or something like that, or even reckless endangerment or something in some jurisdictions. But the physiological changes that happen once that shot is fired is a concern for you. And a lot of people may, if they think this is legal and think this is what they're supposed to do, and they fire that shot and it doesn't work, I think it's going to create an amount of hesitation there that is unacceptable. You're shooting, it works in the movies, the guy's supposed to run away and does it, and you're trying to figure out why, and you wind up getting attacked anyway. So I can't frankly see, maybe if you're out in the woods and somebody's 100 yards away and you see somebody attacking someone and you fire a warning shot, let them know that you're watching, they are within range, maybe that would be a justifiable, legitimate time to use a warning shot. But and there's probably other reasons, but I can't think of any real good reasons right now. I mean, the rights at risk, you know, you're thinking, lady. There's a lot of things going on with these quakes and stuff happening right now, so that the thinking people here will figure out how to put two and two together for some of these things that are happening and make plans accordingly. All right. Well, it is right straight up 2100. So I think we'll go ahead and take a break. Let's see. I'm going to move this up on account of I don't want to hear it again. And I'm going to move this down on account of I want to hear it again. And we'll be back.
I just hate stupid people.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt.
on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Dad stands in the corner with the barrel so straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
Thompson! They want to take my guns away.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man... he wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
Gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
I remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South.
the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron. Big iron.
All right, we're back. Anonymous, it's funny you should mention Lee Hazelwood in your deal. Amy and I just, I played a little segment of a song on her show day before Monday, I think, day before yesterday, and decided that they've got one there that I'm going to play on my show Friday night. So that's about the only time you've ever heard of Lee Hazelwood. But there's a mother in Colorado that enjoys hunting and doing things that Colorado women do. And she posted a picture on her personal Facebook page of a very nice mountain lion that she got, good sized cat. And so since they've posted that, they've had death threats, or she's had death threats over at these anti-hunters, you know, so much into saving, preserving life and everything, as long as it's anything but people life. The animals are much more important to them than humans are. And certainly hunting's not for everybody. It's, you know, I fully agree with that. Just don't, you know, don't get in my way or try to prevent me from doing it, and I won't make you do it, and we'll get along just fine. But anyway, this gal has had her life pretty well changed here after a German journalist called her out online for shooting and killing a mountain lion during an illegal hunt over a year ago. According to the news article here, it said, the lady said, "I posted a photo of my daughter and her recently adopted house cat on our local Humane Society Facebook page. Next thing I knew, this Sylvia person commented on and posted a link to my personal page with a photo of my mountain lion. I have no idea how she found me." She said the comment in question referred to her mountain lion photograph she uploaded last year and said, "Sadly, you don't love all cats, madam." She said, "I've never been called so many horrible, hateful names in my life. They even went so far as to post my full name, address, and directions to my house." One of the people that commented said the only answer is to take these psychopaths out. Problem solved. Animal saved. Another comment calls for an eye for an eye. Another one said, you're a disgrace to those of us who respect life, human and animal. I'd love to hunt you and hang your head on my living room wall. How stupid is that? These people are supposed to be, you know, they worry about us killing us being hunters, killing animals. And, you know, most people, the average hunter doesn't go out and shoot just to be shooting animals. Now, there are some reasons you go out and shoot coyotes and prairie dogs and stuff because they are overrunning areas and you don't do anything with them but shoot them and leave them. Wintertime, you take the pelts of the coyotes and sell them and everything, and it kind of keeps things in balance a little bit. But these people should go and see how animals would I can understand the your warning shot story there. These people should see how beef cows are killed for food. They should see how chickens are raised and killed. You know, most of the these people go to Colonel Chicken or wherever, and you know, they go to the Sunday afternoon Sunday picnic after church and have fried chicken. All they should see how those chickens are raised. Most of those chickens, when I was in East Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, some parts, all over East Texas, they have these huge chicken houses. There's some that one chicken house would hold, you know, 75 to 100,000 chickens. And what they do with these chicken, whether they still do this procedure or not, I don't know. This was back in, when was this? Must have been about, probably about 78, 79, somewhere in there. So maybe they don't do it anymore. But what they did with these chickens, they had certain things that they fed them and all that, and they cut there at birth, or when they get a certain age as a chick there, they cut most of their top beak off so that they don't peck each other to death and everything. And they're raised strictly as, just like veal and pigs and you know, everything else, they're raised strictly as meat animals. They're not raised as pets. They're raised for meat. And you eat it, you enjoy it, until you see how they're raised. And so when they have a panic, when a wolf, or not a wolf, but when a fox or a bobcat or something tries to get in the pen, or one actually does get in, you can imagine how 75,000 chickens trying to get away all crowd into one end, then, you know, about a third of them on the bottom of the pile all wind up dying because they suffocate with all these other chickens on them. So that's how crowded it is in there. I saw a tornado hit one of those chicken pens one time, and that was the funniest thing I ever seen. It took the roof off of that, and boom, and there was chickens and chicken feathers and stuff in the sky, and it looked like it was snowing around there for all the white chicken feathers and everything. But anyway, the idea here is that if these people could see how the the majority of these people are just normal people, and they go to McDonald's and they eat chicken and they wear leather shoes and leather belts and all this other animal related stuff, but they have never seen how these animals are killed. And I tell you, the average hunter out there, most of us, the overwhelming majority of us, will make sure that we have a good shot and make sure that the animal dies humanely and quickly. And now, I watched a bullfight in Spain one time. Was it in Spain? I saw one in Mexico. No, one in Spain that I I followed the bull after they, after the big brave matador out there managed to kill the bull, which I thought was BS. I think he's a big sissy. Anyway, they're dragging him out by horseback. You know, throw a rope on him, pull him out with a couple of horses. And they get him out, and before they even unhook him, and then they get him hooked up to the these deals where they hang him up, there are already guys with knives already. You know, they've cut his throat. They're starting to skin him. They're getting everything done while he's being lifted up. And this is happening. They're going to have this one done before the next bull comes. And you can go buy parts of that very bull at a certain shop there in Barcelona that same night. This happens earlier in the day, and they take it, and they cool it off quickly, and they get it in there, and this same night, or it may have been the next night, but they don't leave them hang and let them age or anything. And most of the bulls are pretty young anyway. So they get them in there pretty quickly, and you can actually eat some of that very bull that you saw in the fight. And I think it's the same night. I'm almost positive it is, because they do this very quickly and get it cooled down quickly and get it on this, you know, barbecue thing or whatever it is they do with it. So that's very humane. And I'm sure they wouldn't think anymore if they actually got to watch that. I was not impressed with it. I'm not... you know, if you hunt and you make a good, clean, legal kill and everything, I mean, I have no problem with it. I don't care how many of them you kill. I don't care how often you do it. I don't care what you do it with, as long as it's humane. I don't care. But the bullfight thing didn't go over well with me. I thought the matador in the first place was a coward. I thought he was a big wuss. And now what they did with it, the animal did not die quickly and humanely. It's slow. It's agonizing. It's cruel. And but what they do with it doesn't go to waste. I mean, they eat every damn bit of it after it's all done. But it's not a fun thing to watch. You know, people get a big kick out of that and going watching the bullfight. But I thought it was sucked. Okay, Rights at Risk has turkeys to do the same thing up in. Huge metal shed, yep, same type of deal. Rides the risk. There's nothing humane about a bullfight. If they were just going to go out there and see what happens in this thing, they go out there in these, I forgot what they call them, they have these guys on horses that go out first, and they wear the bull down, and they put these little, I think they call them picas, in... little things that they use to wear the bull down, tire him. He's in pain. He's confused. He's mad. He's got these things sticking in him. You know, four, five, six, eight of them sticking in the bull and in his neck, and he's humped there so he can keep his head down. And the picadores is the ones on the horse, and the picas is what they stick in the bull. So once they get him worn down well and everything, where that little sissy matador can come out there and ole ole and wave his bath towel out there at him and stuff, that's all big fun. And then he gets to take his sword at the right time and run it through there and kill the bull. Whoop-de-doo. And I absolutely love it. It just tickles me to death when one of those matadors catches a horn up the rear end or something. I think that's just funnier than hell and well deserved. I just think it's hilarious. Like I said, you know, people think that we are totally heartless as hunters and we can't see. Well, you know, we can. And part of the reason we do hunt is because we are humane. We don't want to see the animals poisoned. We don't want to see the animals overcrowded and starved to death. You know, is it... the amount of meat hunters versus the amount of sport hunters is quite a huge difference there. Good night, Doc. Thanks for joining us there. And thanks for your story, too. Even the sport hunters. You know, you get people that are go out and shoot a elephant. Well, they're not going to take it home with them. But the natives eat it. they'd get a giraffe or a zebra or whatever else it is they do. They don't go to waste. They don't just take the trophy off of it and leave it out there for the lions to eat. You know, somebody eats that. So even if the actual hunters, and if they didn't do that, I think that there would be a lot less of that allowed. If there was nobody can eat it, I don't think they would allow the killing of a lot of those animals. So the actual waste of an animal, I think, is extremely low compared to the amount that gets used. So there you have it. All right. This, let's see, we started that, the Florida warning shot bill. Okay, we got that pretty well taken care of. All right. Now, here is, what do we got? We got 8 minutes here before break time. Let's see. Let's do this one. Then we ought to be able to finish this up. And I've got a couple more to do after the break. We already, this concealed carry law in Illinois is only a couple of months old. And we already have some dipstick out there that has had his license revoked. Revoked, I say, not just suspended, taken away. Revoked pending verdict on a trial here. The first, so far, the only person to have his concealed carry license revoked in Illinois is a guy that pulled a gun out during an argument over rent money. Now, see, this is the kind of stuff that the anti-gunners look for. This is a "see, I told you so" moment for them. Over rent, really? You're going to pull a gun on him and then, "see, I told you this was going to happen. Blood's going to run in the streets. How awful is this? We told you." Well, this is an extremely, extremely isolated incident here. This kind of stuff does not happen nationwide, but once in a coon's age here. But the guy pulled a gun and pointed at the man and threatened to shoot him. And the man and the woman that was with the guy called police. He was arrested. And he had admitted to hiding his gun in a vacant apartment. And they found a .38 caliber revolver in there. He was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. That's a misdemeanor in Illinois. That's unbelievable. Aggravated assault in New Mexico is a felony. It's a first or second degree felony, if I recall. But it is definitely a felony, I know, for an absolute fact. Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon is a misdemeanor. Unless this is not correct information on this story, that's nuts. I've never heard of that before. Anyway, the guy had his trusty FOID card, the firearm owner's identification card, and a concealed carry license. Now, that tells me, it indicates that the training that they receive is not adequate and pushed hard enough to make people believe that they shouldn't do this kind of stuff. I think that most of the people that go through my concealed weapons class, especially my full class that I did in New Mexico, and I think all my classes, I've got a 4-hour, an 8-hour, and a 15-hour class. I think that each and every one of them that leaves there fully understands the dangers and the idiocy and the legal problems that could arise from pulling a gun over something as stupid as an argument over rent. I make it extremely clear, long drawn out conversation, that there are three factors that absolutely must be present during your to justify you pulling a gun out here. And all three of those factors, lacking any one of them, then you could be found at fault. And those three factors are the ability to hurt you, whatever it may be, bare hands, contact weapons, firearm, whatever it may be. They have to have the ability. They have to have the opportunity to use the ability that they have. We've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. They have to have the opportunity to use the ability they have. That would mean, arm's length with bare hands. It would mean conversational distances with contact weapons, with a knife or a club or something like that, or any distance with a firearm. The third thing that they need to have, or the third thing that you need to believe that they have, is the intention to do you harm. And that would be considered in that, since you can't prove intention in court. In court, you'll need to make the people believe that you absolutely and sincerely believe that your life was in danger. And if you've got those three things, chances are pretty good that you're going to be justified in what you're doing, justified in your lethal force use, sir. So, anyway, the guy that got his concealed carry permit had none of those. He the only thing, he was pissed. He just emotional, overreacted. If the charges are dropped, the license will be reinstated. But I really can't imagine that the charges would be dropped, especially in Illinois. Of course, I can't imagine that Illinois only charge you with a misdemeanor for aggravated assault, if the story here is accurate. But they have received, at the time of this story, they'd received more than 50,000 applications out there to carry a concealed weapon. How happy those people must be to be able to exercise their constitutional rights finally in the state of Illinois. So, all right, let's take a Brittle Lake here, and we'll be back in a minute.
I'll be back.
Me too.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away, but you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come to us and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
What I wouldn't give to ride in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
happy songs. Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
You fought all the way, Johnny Red, Johnny Red. You fought all the way, Johnny Red.
Bring it on. If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct cabin every time you turn the radio on, join Corp Reynolds for The Shooting Bench here on the Just Measures Radio Network for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Red, Johnny Red. You fought all the way, Johnny Red.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
Thought he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Red, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Red, Johnny Red.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on The Shooting Bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me.
All right, we're back. Let's finish this up. Casper Mountain mentioned something about the National Elk Refuge up just out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, just on the kind of the east side there, north and east side of Jackson Hole. What an amazing sight that is to drive into that. I drove in it for the first time. It was just about daylight one morning. And I was looking through there, and I didn't even realize that there was a National Elk Preserve. I had no idea. But, well, that didn't work. I was trying to put something up there for you to see. But I didn't realize that there was such a thing, and I kept looking out there across these big fields, and I saw the herds of animals. I didn't think too much about it, and I drove by, and I kept looking. And I looked, and I said, damn. That looks a little weird. So I stopped and waited for a few minutes for the sun to come up a little bit higher. And I'll be darned if it wasn't elk as far as the eye could see. Thousands of them. It was just amazing how many elk were out there. Let's see here. I'm trying to find something to put in here for you to show you something. No, that's not going to work either. Well, I would have to save these and put them on. But let me post a link here for you. Let me just do that. This is to a picture album here, a photo album, at the National Elk Refuge. And if you just go to this page, wait for them to load, and go down and look at all these. Good Lord, it is absolutely amazing. Rights at Risk. That's not going to work. That wasn't what I was trying to do. Let me try this again. Rights at Risk, you can... well, I'll be darned. That is the link, I guess. Hang on a minute. Let me try something here. But they have, I think, the last estimate when I was there, I believe it was something like 14,000 head in this deal. I have pictures of probably around 2,000 that were over in Meteetse, Wyoming, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000. You know, it's hard to guesstimate when you're seeing that many elk. But what an amazing sight, just really exhilarating sight to be able to be close enough to hear those cows making their little noise and the bulls grunting and an occasional little bugle, nothing during that time of year and for what they're doing. They don't bugle too much, but you'll hear a little small bugle once in a while, probably from a young bull. And just astounding. You can see, you know, a couple hundred head cross the road down there just any time. But I've got video of back when we used to have a quite a state-of-the-art, let's see, I don't even know why you can't post any of these links. Let me play with this here a little bit. I used to have a real, what I thought at the time, well, I didn't think it really was, state-of-the-art video camera. Great big damn thing compared to what they are now. And let's see if this, what this does. And that's not going to work either. I'll be darned. Okay, let's see. Let me try something else here. And we carried that video camera up, you know, it was as big as it was, out hunting with us. And we took a lot of video of up in this, right in this very area where this, where these pictures are taken here. Dadgummit, I wish I could get this in here for you. Let's see. Let me try... Well, let me just pick one here, and I'm going to put it in here and see. Here you go, Rights at Risk. Let me put this in here and see what happens. Stand by just a minute. Stand by. Let's see if this is going to work. We have a whole new thing to show you here. Well, it don't look like that's going to work either. Let's try. You may try cutting and pasting this, and see if that helps. Copy link. Try this one more time. No. Okay. Just take that and copy it and post it and paste it in your thing there and see. Yeah, Casper Mountain. You know, one where you're talking about right there, me and Amy counted, if I remember, it was 283 head between Nutrioso, Arizona, and Luna, New Mexico. It's 26 miles. And all the little herds we saw here and there, I think it was 283 head. Then this was almost dark, no telling how many more we could have seen farther back in the woods. These are the ones that were right on the road that we could see. Coming back one evening, and so many elk in that part of the country. Good grief, it's amazing. But cut and paste that link right there and see if that will work for you. See if you can see what I'm seeing there. But if you ever have a chance to go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, absolutely stunning, breathtaking scenery around there. Amazing sight. But don't miss the National Elk Refuge. That is something that is definitely a sight to behold. And, yeah, when I tell people to Okay, here's another one. Cut and paste that one. Yeah, I tell everybody that would come to see us in Luna, I said, 45 miles an hour, you're pushing it. You're taking your life in your hands. That is your absolute max speed during that time of year, especially early in the morning, late in the evening, and all night. Is 45 is pushing it. And they're like ghosts. They just appear in the road, and with the best eyesight, sometimes you don't see them until it's too late. And when you hit an elk, that is a monumental event in your life, and especially for your car. It's not so much unlike hitting a horse. And if you've ever seen a car that has hit a horse, it's not a pretty picture. And the 45 miles an hour is risking life and limb there. All right, enough fun in Wyoming. You guys cut and paste those and check them out. There's a whole bunch more on that site, and you can probably find that site through the links on those pictures there. As a matter of fact, let's see, 1102827. Let me see if I've posted the right thing in there. Maybe 1102827. 7215762701. Okay, all right. I see where the difference is. 1239. Let's see. Okay. Okay. Let's do this. Let me put this in there, cut and paste it, and see. And it'll take you to the whole album, hopefully. I hate these things that you can't. Rides at risk. It's pretty common. If you're going much over, 30, 40 miles an hour and you hit a horse, that's it's pretty much done. You're pretty much over with there. Here, cut and paste that last one in there, Rides at Risk. That is the whole album there. It is absolutely amazing to drive through this place at the right time of year and see the amount. There's always elk there, but in the wintertime, wow, unbelievable. Totally takes your breath away to drive through there, and maybe not doesn't affect all people like it does me, but it certainly was just an amazing sight for me. All right, enough fun and games. Here is a man. I call him a man. I use that term extremely loosely. This guy is. I thought it said. No, it doesn't say how old he is here. But this goes into the file here of the parents who have gone into a blind rage because kids are crying or because they're doing, and then they wind up having to be inconvenienced by putting down their crack pipe for a little bit and do some taking their care of their parental responsibilities. This guy, this is so bad. And this is one of those very few people that this is the reason that I'm not a cop. If I come across this guy and was sure that he had did what it, had done what it appears like he done, it'd be through right there. There'd be no, I would be judge, jury, and executioner on the spot, I'm afraid. Just emotionally, I just don't think that I could be a good cop when you come across this kind of stuff. This guy is going to serve only 16 years in prison. He should be executed slowly on a public square. He beat his newborn daughter. How would you justify beating a newborn to start with? And then put her in the freezer while he took a nap. Beat a newborn baby and put her in the freezer while he took a nap. Baby's mother come home just in time to get her out of the freezer, and I can't imagine what this baby must have felt and how. I have little doubt that this baby will suffer psychologically for the rest of her life because of this. Prosecutor said that this guy pleaded guilty to first-degree assault for beating his infant daughter and putting her in a freezer. She has fully recovered, thank God. And it's hard to believe that a baby could be in there for an hour. You don't think God was watching over this kid? You're nuts. But in spite of her being fully recovered, authorities say that her core temperature had fallen to 85 degrees while she's in the freezer. He put her in there, went to the bedroom, fell asleep. She also had a broken arm, broken leg, and a head injury. One of those, I just have no words. I just don't know what to say. This was in Casper, where was this? Here's Washington. It doesn't say whether it's Washington State or Washington, D.C. It just says a Washington man. So I'm assuming Washington State. It doesn't say the name of the... here, I can bet you I can click on this link and I'll bet you I can find it. And I will ask and you shall receive. Maybe. Okay, ABC, it's out of Knoxville, Tacoma, Washington. 25-year-old Washington man accusing of putting his 6-week-old daughter in a 10-degree freezer for an hour to make her stop crying. Sentenced to 16 years in prison. Mother who had left the baby in his care saw the guy pull her out of the freezer as she was returning home and called 911. So the guy, I guess, came, that wasn't in the first story. I guess he, after his little hour nap, decided, well, she's being quiet now, I guess I'll pull her out of the freezer. How can a newborn survive an hour in a 10-degree freezer? If you don't think that there was some intervention there, I don't know. But this is going to be a very, very long 16 years for this guy, I'm afraid. Even the baddest of the criminals, the worst of the worst, are generally pretty hard on pedophiles and people that hurt kids and women beaters and stuff like that. Hard to believe. Good night, Chuck. Hopefully be pushing this class on the 3rd and 4th. We need this one to go through. So, cannot believe someone. But the next one is just as bad. Just as bad or worse. Here is a guy. This one makes me sick to my stomach. This one hurts. All of these that have to do with kids, especially little young kids, babies, toddlers, I completely lose control of my senses and emotions when I read stuff like this. I just start shaking. It just drives me completely nuts. And this guy was convicted of raping his own 3-year-old daughter and faces only probation after a state superior court judge said he won't fare well in prison. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are really concerned about how well he will fare in prison? Not me. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, the furthest thing from my mind is how well he's going to do in prison. You know why this guy got away with it? He was charged with 4th-degree rape in 2009. This is a brand new story. This story came out the day before yesterday. He did this in 2009. It's taken 5 years for it to get as far as it has. This is an unemployed heir of DuPont, living off his trust fund. And bye, son. Have a good night. Filthy rich, actually. And the sentence that he got has only become public because he's one of the one percenters. It's only become public as a result of a lawsuit filed by his ex-wife, which charges that he actually penetrated his daughter with his fingers while masturbating, and then assaulted his son as well. Sorry, but I don't care how well he's not going to do in prison. I think he should probably have the opportunity to go and spend a year or so in prison, and then I think you ought to pull him out and kill him. I really do. I'm sorry that I feel that way, but that I do. And I would. But I think a year in prison would do him good. I think old Tyrone would be glad to see him. And I think he could make some really good friends while he's in there for a few months. And then you ought to take him out and hang him. Guy hired one of the state's top law firms and was offered a plea deal of one count of fourth degree rape charges, which carries no mandatory prison sentence. He accepted and admitted to the assault. In the sentence, the judge said he would benefit from participating in sex offenders rehabilitation program rather than serving prison time. I think he would benefit most from a bullet in the brain. That's what I think would be the best thing. The journal said that it was extremely rare for an individual to fare well in prison. Prison is to punish, actually. That's why they put them there, because when you go to prison, it's because you've done something that you wasn't supposed to do. And it's not supposed to be, you're not supposed to fare well in prison. That is an amazing story right there. Child protection laws, this gal said, are there to safeguard children, and adults who knowingly harm children should be punished. Our prisons should be more rehabilitative environments, but the prison system's inadequacies are not a justification for letting a child molester off the hook. Well, that's a nice way to say they should have killed him. Yeah, and I don't care how you go about it. Injection, bullet, electricity, push him off a cliff, I don't care. Take him out in the ocean and throw him overboard and go home. I don't care how you do it. Doesn't matter. Unbelievable. Well, I think we're close enough. You guys be sure, remember that our training schedule has changed. And there's a couple of very important changes here due to a couple of very important people asking for possibility of getting some classes juggled around here a little bit. So in May, we have added a combat medic class, the 3rd and 4th of May, first weekend. And there will be, 3rd and 4th, there will be nothing on the 2nd. I had a unarmed security class on the 2nd that day, that weekend, but I canceled it because there'll be some people coming from a long ways away from home to come in and visit, and if they'll get there on the 2nd, we'll have time to do a few things here before the actual class. So hopefully that will all work out for everyone. And then a month after that, just a hair over a month, first weekend of June, will be our Gunsmith Jamboree, a full guns 3-day gunsmith weekend here. You can take any or all of these classes. We added them together because the two folks that wanted to come wanted all of them. So we bundled them all together for a full weekend of armorer's classes. Field armorer first. We're going to go over a number of different kinds of handguns, rifles, and shotguns. What did I say? Yeah, handguns, rifles, and shotguns. And the second day, all Glock. We will be getting deep inside the Glock and spending a lot of time with everything from history to background makeup, the different types of models, modifications, interchangeability, just a whole bunch of different stuff about the Glock. That would be a lot of fun. And the next day, AK-47 armor, which will be very much like the Glock day, but you'll actually go out and shoot your... And we may have a chance to go out and shoot the Glock a little bit after the class. I don't know. That's not part of the class. But the AK-47 armor, it actually is part of the class to take the gun out and dispel a few myths. The AK-47 is an awesome weapon. I love those guns a lot. I do like them better after the modifications that we do to them. But great gun, and I think it behooves us to go out and familiarize ourselves a little bit and dispel a few of the myths that abound over the AK-47 by some of the purists among us. So, there you have it. Let me do one quick check of the chat room and see if there's anything we need to talk about here. Let's see. Mold spore, you're absolutely right. Push them off a cliff and into a freezer. And you're welcome, Casper Mountain, for that. And I think that turnabout is fair play. I have no problem with the same type of suffering here. Stand by here just a second. I'll be right back. You'll experience just a little bit of silence here. All right, back. Sorry about that. I was talking about what was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I think to beat this guy, break his arm, break his leg, and knock him in the head with a club, and then put him in the freezer for an hour or so, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's perfectly fair. And the next best thing is going to be to stick him in prison and let him enjoy some of the added benefits that you get from being a child beater and molester. And the Casper Mountain, yeah, if you want to bring, I don't know whether you're talking about a few Glocks or a few AKs, but yeah, bring them, bring whatever you want to bring. You betcha. All right, at risk, glad you stayed with us. You have a good night. Yep, Amy will be here in the morning. And to all of you, Amy's new time now, 8 o'clock Pacific time, and that would be 8, 9, 10 o'clock Central in the morning. So be sure and join us for that. Amy's show is with... We got to laughing so damn hard today during her show. I'm gonna post a deal. I'm going to run over just a tiny bit here because I need to find... This video for you here real quick. For those of you that have not seen this, as a matter of fact, I'm going to run over long enough for you to see this video and comment on it. It's so fun. We laughed so hard this morning during Amy's show. Unbelievable. You guys have got to watch this video, and you've got to watch it now. I don't think that, let me make sure this is the right one. Some of you may have seen it yesterday. Yeah, this is it. I'm going to put it in here. If you didn't watch this, I want you to watch it right this minute. And I'm going to hang around here and piddle around and talk about something. Just to be talking. Because some of you, I don't think, have seen this yet. This is... Wait a minute, I forgot to do something. Let me do this again. All right, there you go. If you haven't seen this, this is the funniest thing that YouTube has to offer, I think. Absolutely hilarious. Amy laughed so hard she about wet her pants. She couldn't breathe. She was laughing so hard, and I wasn't too far behind her. I've watched this thing a dozen times in the last 2 days. It's just, it is so funny. But this. This guy, I'm not going to say anything. You guys watch it. I think that was so funny. and you can't even talk about it around Amy. She starts giggling, just cracks up. I don't know if that link is working. Hang on a minute. Let me try it again. Let's see here. Okay, there you go. That one works. Sorry about that. Or at least it don't look like it's working on my end, but I know that one is. So let me get rid of some of this clutter here. And there we go. Well, now it appears to be working. So I'm going to hang out here because I want to hear what you guys have to say. If you haven't watched this, I want to hear what you got to say here. So I may watch it again with you. If my background's not showing up for you, Casper, then you need to refresh. It's working on this end, so I think if you refresh, that'll probably show up. Oh, that's so funny. I'm gonna play a song here and let you guys, for those that have already seen it or don't care about it or whatever, you can... and I'll bet you this song by Trace Adkins right here probably is exactly what that one guy was thinking.
Your voice be heard and hold your ground, and that's the point that he'll get the point, and you'll probably back down. But if he bows up and steps across that line, you gotta whoop a man's ass sometimes. Man, I'll be the first one here to call you crazy if you let me catch you cussing at a kid or roughing up a lady. And God forbid that anybody mess with mine. You gotta whoop a man's ass sometimes. Yeah, I let it slide when that liquored up guy asked me, boy, what you looking at? And I kept my cool when the reckless fool put a dent in my Cadillac. And I don't care if my long hair draws stares the way it does, long as you ain't throwing sticks and stones, you'll probably be alright, cuz I'll take the high road if I can out of the bind. But you gotta whoop a man's ass sometimes.